do it.
Blog Talk Radio.
The NAWC, for over 50 months, the revolutionary force in talk entertainment. The North American Wrestling Connection. It's time to rumble! It's time for the NAWC Royal Rumble! Participants include Beaver Cleavage, General Hugh G. Ratchet, the Taskmaster Kevin Sullivan, the Yeti, Naked Midian, the Maestro, El Matador, Seven, Damian Demento, Robocop, Arachnaman, Cloudy, the Juicer, Oh, Battletech, the Shockmaster, the artist formerly known as Prince Iakea, and all 13 original members of the World Bodybuilding Federation. It's every biblically challenged man for himself. It's the biggest main event of the year. It's time to rumble.
That, ladies and gentlemen, from the cast that inspired the phrase "card subject to change." Welcome to our 2-hour session. This is the North American Wrestling Connection, our last show on this part of Blog Talk Radio. My name is Nikki Heyman, and unfortunately, I will not be in the Royal Rumble. Despite my proposed announcement at the Detroit Raw, I have the evidence with microphone in hand. Then they didn't turn it on. But To the usual suspects around me, first the man who announced this year's Rumble, our man Jim Williams.
Welcome, everyone, to the TD Garden! Welcome, everyone, to... I can't do that voice. Hi, guys, how are you doing?
Better than that voice.
Yes.
Definitely better than that voice.
Thank you.
Just a little bit, not too far from you, sir, in the heart of the Big Apple, Mr. Jason Block.
The most interesting wrestling video I saw this week was one of John Cena basically squatting, and this is the truth, 545 pounds three times in an Albany gym, which got out on the interwebs. And let me just tell you something. Cena is a freak of nature. He just is insane.
Indeed.
And that he is. And deep south of here, the man who has saved the North American Wrestling Connection in more ways than one, Mr. Carl Schneer.
Yay!
Yeah, I may have, but I'm not number 40 in the Rumble, sorry.
Oh, darn. I was going to pick you as my surprise. Now there goes the fun.
And again, Carl, thank you very, very, very much.
You're
Without,
welcome, sir.
You know, much appreciated.
You're welcome.
I owe you this button.
Thank you.
30-year dream, Bob. There you go.
Indeed.
So, let us get on with the week's worth of nonsense. Starting with the fact that I was on the road for a very good chunk of it. I was present in Detroit for Raw, and I was present in Cincinnati for SmackDown and NXT, which of course has produced my new signature picture on Facebook, which, yes, that is an authentic WWE microphone in my hand. And yes, it did have batteries in it, but the audio tech refused to open the channel.
No.
Oh, man.
Oh, Jim, I really could have used you Monday night.
No. You know, I'm good with those things, but hey, I had a game that night, and sorry about that. It happens.
It's okay. I truly understand. I should have asked you sooner. But because of this tragedy, it has probably affected their stock prices, or at least I can dream. Is that Jason?
Yeah. As of last Friday, the WWE stock prices were at, I believe, $13.50. Then an earnings report came out, and their numbers were lowered to the lower than the street's expectations. And then it basically took about as much of a free fall as Scott Steiner's career. It went down from $13.50, and it is now, as of today, at about $11.94, about $11.97. So it took about a 10% stock value hit over the last 5 days. And it's been on a roller coaster ride. And I really don't know where it's going to go from here and what that's going to lead to cuts-wise, roster-wise, whatever. I mean, the fact that you've got a 40-man Royal Rumble and you've only – what's the official number at this point?
28, I believe.
We have 28 confirmed, although given one of – there was a interview on SmackDown tonight that might have knocked it back down to 27. I'm not sure if Cody Rhodes is serious about the fact that his injury at the hands of Rey Mysterio is going to cost him his position in the Rumble. He did not face the camera. We do not have confirmation that his nose was broken, but somewhere Undertaker and CM Punk are going, we feel like muses, don't we? We've inspired.
With the number 27 at this point, you got a lot of spots to fill, and we're getting a lot of surprises, I'm guessing. But, you know, I don't know how thin of a roster can you make it now these days?
Well, doing a head count, this also includes announcers, managers, and some people that are on injured reserve and a few other odds and ends. There's a little over 80 people listed between the Raw and the SmackDown rosters. Mm-hmm. So, to be honest, I don't see any major cuts coming until after WrestleMania. There's really no reason to do that. This is right now, this corridor is their big money-making time. So this is the point where the stock price, I think, personal opinion, take it for what it's worth, and remember, the show's free. I think the stock is going to stabilize for now, and then we'll really see what's going to fly as we get closer and closer to WrestleMania.
May I make a quick disclaimer?
Sure.
The stock advice of Mickey Heeman is not necessarily those of a person who knows the stock market. You may use this advice or not use this advice as you so see fit. BTR cares.
Correct.
It's an opinion you are permitted to choose and consider carefully. Thank you.
Yeah, I am a shareholder. One share, but I am a shareholder, believe it or not.
Oh, okay.
You know, I got it as a birthday gift. There's a wonderful site called oneshare.com. I don't know if you've ever heard of it or what?
Yeah, I think I have, yeah.
What you got a share of?
Yeah, WWE.
WWE.
Oh, okay, nice. Cool.
Yes, I am a stockholder in the company, so I do have a vested interest. Albeit one.
Minute,
but it's a vested interest.
Minute.
But, no, I mean, honestly, I mean, Amazon stock tumbled. I mean, it's all about, quote-unquote, expectations. If the street says A and then it becomes B, it's like, oh, they didn't hit it. I mean, look, the WWE is doing very well in the international market, I believe in the DVD market. I don't know if pay-per-view revenue is up or not. But
it's a little down from what it is year to year, and according to some sources, they're a little worried about WrestleMania in that, yes, it will attract the wrestling fan, but, of course, being that it's the biggest pay-per-view of the year, they go mainstream, and they're having problems perhaps going mainstream. Granted, 2 months away, but still, if they can't make, you know, a big buy rate out of WrestleMania, then the stock's going to take a free fall again.
Yeah.
I mean,
this is the time of the year that you really pay attention to buy rates, and especially on WrestleMania time.
And especially when you have the Big Four, one of the Big Four coming up. Royal Rumble. I mean, again, they haven't promoted much except for the, you know, the two main events in the Royal Rumble match, you know. But it's going to be very interesting to see who they get for the mainstream. I mean, again, Shawn Michaels in the Hall of Fame will get some buys, okay?
Sure.
Yeah.
But you're going to need a lot more mainstream star power, plus a good card, okay? Because the last two WrestleMania cards have been decent with two spectacular matches.
An overshadowed card, yeah.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
Exactly. And especially when you have now The Undertaker not at 100% and not going to be in a spectacular match, you need to have a very good undercard. Money in the Bank will do that. But we'll see how they do the undercard, and we'll see how Elimination Chamber sets that up
mm-hmm.
as well, and the Royal Rumble. Because the Royal Rumble, I am guessing, okay, is going to change the game, no pun intended, in a lot of ways, because there's going to be a lot of people who are not expecting to be there to be there, which we'll get later on. Again, we'll get to later on, which might totally change the works to what we're thinking of. I mean, next week's show is going to be totally different, I think, depending on what happens here.
Well, that's going to definitely, the Rumble's going to kick up a lot of dust. And in fact, the fact that it's already kind of winding right now because, to be honest, I'm guessing when we do get to the Royal Rumble pick-ems, everybody here is going to have a different answer to who's going to win the Rumble this year. There have been years where it's been obvious, and this is not one of them. It's not just because of the expansion. It's not mm-hmm. because of the fact we have 40 people. We've got some pretty, you know, we've got some really, you know, interesting storylines that could be enhanced by having a Rumble winner.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got,
absolutely.
And then we've got guys who have not won a Rumble that could really, you know, could really use, you know, could, you know, benefit from having that on their resume. We've also got some thank you stuff that wouldn't be too bad about this. Let's see. And the reason I bring that up is just because of something that Jason Tassel, which was some upcoming DVDs. I'm going to skip talking about pay-per-view releases on DVDs because that's expected. What we should be looking at is stuff like the Best of WCW. As we all know, that this year is going to be semi-WCW themed because of the WrestleMania being in Atlanta. One of the first ones, as I said, Best of WCW. Diamond Dallas Page has graciously accepted to be one of the hosts of this DVD.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a bad thing. That's a
smirk.
Good thing.
Big yeah. smile.
So, Jim, I hear you smirking in the background. Do you think they might be able to twist his arm to make an appearance in the Rumble?
You know, I wouldn't necessarily put it past them, but I would highly doubt it. I would highly doubt it. Just because there are certain people, how nicely can I put this? There are certain people from that era who have moved on to bigger and better things. You can make a case DDP is one of those persons. He's got the, you know, training and the motivational thing going on, and he's doing well with that. He might do it for old time's sake, for shiggles, as the kids say. But I don't see him being a surprise person. It'd be kind of fun, but I don't see it realistically happening.
Not only do I see it happening, I see him making a short Bret Hart-style run. He still is in very good shape. He still can go, I think. And, you know, why not? Why not have a little, because that's what the Royal Rumble is. The Royal Rumble is one of those places where you can throw shit like this in and get the pops. You know?
That's true. I mean, I think I think that kind of moment's going to happen, but not necessarily from somebody like DDP, and I'll elaborate further when we get closer to Pick'ems.
Okay. There's some of the other stuff we're going to see. It looks like WWE is going to continue the tradition by doing the annual Best Ofs. There is a Best of Raw 2009-2010 that is just hitting the shelves now. The Best of SmackDown 2009-2010 should be out now. We've also got an upcoming WWE's Biggest Knuckleheads. Now, I have no information about this, but since we already have a separate entry for a Big Show DVD, what's going on here? Does anybody have anything on this?
No. But I'm guessing they're going to probably do some seriously, what do you call it, doofusy stuff? I was looking for the word doofus.
Which DVD are you talking about?
It's called WWE's Biggest Knuckleheads. And as I said,
I think that's embarrassing moments collected into one DVD.
Kind of like the new version of Bloopers, Bleeps, and Body Slams,
right,
or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. In that case, that'll definitely be in my collection. They have the DVD release date for The Chaperone, which is March 8th. And
three theaters get to see it. Isn't that cute?
Well, actually, I'll give you... What's
yes.
that?
Well, three so far, I should say.
Well, I'll just throw in, my two cents on this. Last weekend, I received a phone call from WWE asking if I wanted to participate in something. Unfortunately, I was disqualified for a couple of different reasons, which I don't want
to... You never told me this, Nikki. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Turns out that what had happened is that when I got to Detroit, I ran into somebody who was able to give me the explanation. They were looking to put together a target audience, which meant I was too old. And again, I feel discriminated.
That's ageism. You can
see that. That's BS.
I was very, I was quite offended, and I would have been happy to get in out of the cold. Although I think they know that as soon as I came in there, the first thing I would do is sit down, and yes, I would have gotten to see the Evil Docs trailer for The Chaperone, to which I would have stood up in the
back. Hey, is my gong out here?
But apparently they were rounding up people to show the trailer. I don't think they were showing them the whole movie. But while I was waiting in line at the Joe, they were rounding up people to go over to Cobalt Hall to show it.
The trailer or the movie?
As far as I understood, the trailer, although given how early they were looking for people, they probably would have had time to show the whole movie.
And then go on top of the roof and see monster trucks. Oh, wait, that's a few years ago. Sorry.
No. We are WCW, but not that WCW.
Okay. My bad.
So, another DVD of great intrigue that got some promotional time at both events that I attended was WWE's The WrestleMania Story to be released in mid-March. This is all the behind-the-scenes stuff that all of us tech geeks like myself and Mr. Jim would like to hear when it comes to Mania.
Oh, absolutely. I think it could be a big seller. I think it could be one of their bigger sellers, at least in this quarter. It just, you hit the nail on the head. Geeks like you and me, and I say geek in a loving term, of course, friendly term, It's nice to see just how many little things go into place to pull off the biggest show of the year. And, we see the screw-ups, occasionally, where is Rey Mysterio? He's about 10 minutes late when he tries to get out to the ring to see CM Punk or whatever. There are reasons for that. Nothing ever goes perfectly, but you got to give credit to the crew people who make it happen and pull it off. And this is going to be a great little tutorial, little history of how the event goes. I think it's going to be a great release.
And while, we've heard in a couple of places how they talk about how big a gamble the first couple of WrestleManias were, the fact that it was, Vince McMahon crossing his fingers and pulling the trigger and hoping that something would come of this. I'm really intrigued to see, you know, how much are we going to see of that from backstage to backstage. What are we going to see from backstage? I mean, the only other glimpse we've had was the Mania of Mania from WrestleMania 19, where they talked a little bit about all the goings-on, especially in the case of the Angle-Lesnar match.
I remember that from WrestleMania 19. They did a that was like the first documentary we saw as the public,
right,
if I remember correctly.
Right.
Which was fantastic, by the way.
Exactly. Now, they're doing this essentially as a way to look at all of the other WrestleManias. It might not be as in-depth as Mania of WrestleMania, but we're going to see a lot. And people are going to finally understand how big of an undertaking this is. I mean, it amazes me how many people are surprised at how much it takes for these guys to put on Raw, much less a pay-per-view.
Much less biggest pay-per-view on the calendar.
Exactly.
And especially in, and what was it, you got a 70,000 seat stadium, right? Let's just say.
Right.
And you've got months to build a set. Okay?
Right.
You've got months to build a set. You've got pyro. You've got the cities now bidding for it like the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the whole, it's now a week-long event. With the art show, the golf tournament, the Hall of Fame ceremony, okay,
access,
it's insane.
And access has just exploded over the last 2 or 3 years because they didn't have much anything for 22, and 23 was kind of a little display thing. We didn't get to see matches. We didn't get to shake hands with wrestlers. We got to goof around with a few things. No, I can't say that. At 23, I did manage to shake hands and get a picture with Hillbilly Jim, who was out there hosting the festivities. But we didn't have any current guys. Now the access has wrestling matches, autograph sessions, photo ops. Go out and reenact an entrance. All this crazy crap that I would have loved to have had in Detroit.
Didn't they have also like a call your own match thing?
We had that.
Oh, you know, I would have been stuck there. Yeah.
We had that, and USA had a little thing called character. When they started their characters welcome campaign, they let people go and cut a 60-second promo. And actually, mine made it to the website. I never got a call back because I think they got my information wrong. Anyway, let's see some of the other releases. But to move on here, Big Show is finally getting his own DVD called A Giant's World. Now remember, this is a guy who's been in the business for 15 years. Has been in and out of the main event scene, both for WCW and WWE, and his cup of coffee as ECW champion under WWE's version. A guy with this much success, taking this long to get a DVD set. Carl, is this a surprise to you?
In a couple of ways, yeah.
I mean...
Excuse me.
Yeah, me too, Jason. Oof.
But it's good to see, I'm glad to see that he's finally getting a treatment in his career.
Well deserved.
And he's a goofball, so it should be a fun DVD.
There you go.
And I hope they show some of the early WCW stuff while he is physical now, he was incredibly physical.
Oh, yeah.
As a young kid. Didn't he try to do moonsaults and stuff like that?
He did do some top rope stuff, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he did.
Maybe not moonsaults, but...
There were jokes about the moonsault, but I don't know if that ever actually happened. I know that He was able to do a kip up.
My God.
Yeah,
okay.
It's on there. It's on YouTube.
I believe it.
There was one that he didn't. He did it more recently, but he actually had to use the rope to help himself. But he has done one unassisted.
There's also one from like
99.
He did it without help.
Right.
And,
so,
and for what it's worth, the DVD you're speaking of comes out on March 22nd. If you're wanting to circle that date, so.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And also, my favorite moment of the Big Show's career, and I swear to you, this is true. Not all the imitations. And by the way, Big Show doing Hulkamania was absolutely one of the funniest goofball stuff that I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
But remember when Big Show and Kane actually had a wrestling clinic for about 10 minutes? Does anybody
remember? I remember that Nikki saying this because I remember how stunned the crowd was. And we were just sitting there cracking up at these two. Matt wrestling.
But, I mean, and they wrestled. And they wrestled beautifully. It was awesome to see 2 7-foot guys do, like, standing switches and, like, do mat work.
Technical wrestling at its finest.
And they did it as just, it sounds like, the way it came across, it sounds like it was done as a giant rib, pun fully intended, to the entire crowd and the announcers, because even JR didn't know how to call it. JR was baffled watching this match.
Yeah, they worked their crowd that night.
Oh, yeah. My favorite Big Show moment won't be on this DVD because it happened at a house show.
Oh?
It was Big Show tagging with Shawn Michaels against Triple H and Chris Matt.
Hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
This is early 2006, I believe, and this was when Big Show had supposedly broken his hand and was wearing had a cast on, but he was still competing. He had a beef with Triple H. I think Hunter was responsible for breaking his hand or however this happened. Not relevant. At one point, Hunter and Shawn are in the ring facing off against each other, and they decide to do a very Flair-esque spot where Shawn gets a hold of the back of Hunter's trunks and pulls him down. So we now have the King of Kings, the ass of asses, hanging out here.
Okay.
And he's running around the ring, doing whatever Ric Flair does whenever he gets his trunks pulled down, including climbing up on the corner to make sure he has mooned everybody and taking the Flair peel.
Nice.
I'm getting the Big Show. Just give me a second here. So after those two go for a couple minutes, Shawn tags in the Big Show. Show catches Hunter before he can tag in Masters, drags him back to the center of the ring, puts him over his knee, makes sure the trunks are down, and then spanks him with the cast hand.
Oh, my God.
Oh, boy.
I have a picture to prove it on NikkiHeyman.com.
We'll take a look-see right now.
Hold on.
Give me 1 second.
What would it be under?
Where's it under?
Okay, when you go to my site, go to Enter Nikki's page.
Right.
Click on Raw.
Right.
To Triple H's picture.
Yes.
Uh huh.
And now at the very bottom right, there's going to be a little warning thing.
Oh, clicking here could cause temporary blindness. Okay.
Click there and then just scroll down a little bit.
Oh, Big Show says Bad Evil Doc?
Yeah.
Humvee. Fun times.
Woohoo.
Oh, God. Young man ass.
And I know that the text covers this up, but Masters is in the background going, oh, my God.
That's just wrong.
Brain bleach.
Yes, I need brain bleach.
That is better pages. I apologize to all of you guys.
That's okay. Yeah. It's pretty funny.
But you got a cheap plug-in, so there you go.
That's an Easter egg on your site, yes.
So, one last DVD, and then we are going to have to move on.
Okay.
One last gasp for DX merchandise. Said WWE, and they created a DVD called DX The Final Conflict. This will essentially cover the events of the final reunion of D-Generation X from the summer of 2009 to their quiet breakup in 2010 when Shawn Michaels decided to go it alone against The Undertaker. So this will include their entire feud with Legacy, probably run-ins with the Straight Edge Society.
Kids getting super kicked.
Yes.
Yes. That whole skit, that entire skit, so I'm guessing this whole DVD is going to open with the one phone call.
Yes.
It gets clobbered by Legacy one too many times. And we get to giggle at the fact that Evil somehow found a rotary phone to call Sean.
I never thought about that.
Sean bought his cell phone. We know better.
Yes.
So, Final Conflict will drop on April 5th. I don't know if I have that for standard def. Jason, you didn't send me the whole thing. Is the Blu-ray going to be out at the same time?
Yes.
Let me look. I think there
April
is a Blu-ray.
April 5th for both, yes.
And yes, they are starting to get all the DVDs up. Regular and Blu-ray, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
Yes, it is the same day. I'm also guessing that WrestleMania will also be on Blu-ray as well.
It will on the 15th of March, yes.
No, all the major WWE releases will be on Blu-ray as well.
Mm-hmm.
For those who actually want to splunk the extra $10 on.
So, okay, I'm going to slow the show down a little bit and just pass along a bit of sad news. A developmental wrestler, a gentleman named Sean Osborne, took his life this week. He felt that he had succeeded in his dream. He had been a developmental wrestler in the WWE. He had worked for Ohio Valley and had been shipped down to Florida Championship. Just never quite made it to television. He spoke of relationship issues, family issues, but in the end, he told everyone, he commented in his letter, which was posted via Stacey Carter, a.k.a. The Cat, posted on her Facebook, this letter, where he did not wish to, he was just telling everybody, don't blame the company I bought the gun from. Don't blame the wrestling business. This is my decision. He chose this because he felt that there was nothing better, that he'd accomplished what he needed in life and nothing was going to improve where he was. A man died, a man taking his life too young, 34 years young.
That is an incredibly sad event when someone feels this way, per se. Nikki and I had some off-air conversations, which we're not going to get into, because my own personal opinion is I believe suicide is a very selfish act. However, I feel very sad for a person who believes that their depression is so bad that the only way to get rid of it is to just end it all, And nothing against Mr. Osborne. I really wish that he is at peace now. I really do. No joke intended here. But it's just sad. It's just truly sad. Jim, call.
Anything from...
Wait a minute, it's sad. it's sad when a person has to go that route. I mean, 34, you have your whole life ahead of you still. There's so much more that can be done. It's just a sad, sad occurrence. And sadly, it's all too real anymore, and it happens more frequently than we think.
I don't know if I want to call this good news or not, but he did mention in his letter that, you know, when they do, should they choose to do an autopsy, the only thing that they'll find in his system was the antidepressant he was on. And yes, he did have a prescription, or so he says. So it's not like it wasn't like he wasn't trying. He had tried to, as his letter stated, he tried to surround himself with positive people. He tried to find positive things. And sometimes one's depression is so deep and so all-encompassing, so overwhelming, and that's where you might end up. Nobody wants to get to that point. And God help you if you do.
Yeah. No, yeah, you're right. And we all have those moments
mm-hmm.
where you think that the world is closing in. And trust me, I've been there. We all have. it's just hard, especially in this, you know, high-pressure day and age. I mean, he's just going to be lumped. Unfortunately, the worst part about this whole thing is that he's going to be lumped in with all the wrestlers who died. You know?
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be a statistic, a number, used by the so-called journalists, who want to just use this and just basically say that the wrestling industry is a death machine. It's not. In this particular case, it's not. And I hope it's not used as such.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, I don't quite have that kind of faith in the mainstream press. And because I can tell you right now, any news outlet that's going to speak about this is not going to read this letter. I feel he explains himself very well. I'm not going to read this whole letter because it is quite long. Let's see. I'm going to get us out of here in just a second because I just received a note from the chat room that the list for the Rumble on Sunday has been expanded to 34 individuals.
Mm-hmm.
Ah.
I'm looking at that right now.
34. Okay.
And
there's something to note.
Sorry, Carl?
I'm looking at this list. There's something to note here.
Okay.
When you go under Kane's name, he's been in every Rumble since 99.
It was brought up during SmackDown that this will be his 13th consecutive Rumble.
That
blows my mind.
And plus a few as the other characters he was before, yeah.
So let's see. I'm just looking through real quick to see if I can pick out the guys they've added. I was trying to keep a separate list, and that was probably a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm trying to figure out who they've added.
Well, I will put it to you this way. I have a list here.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
They are taking it to storyline. Cody Rhodes has been removed.
Okay.
Hmm.
Cody Rhodes has been...
Yeah, there's no Cody Rhodes here at all. Mm-hmm.
Cody Rhodes has been taken off the list.
Mm-hmm. All of the new Nexus, all of the cores on here.
Okay. And just a little breaking news for you. Donna Goldsmith from WWE will leave her position as of 2/28 as director and chief operating officer.
Ooh.
Really?
WWE.
There's more breaking news later, too.
Ah, yes. I'm sorry?
What's that?
Has she cited why?
No, but this was a file form with the SEC.
Okay. Okay, I got. I'm still missing somebody on my list here, and I'm just trying to figure it out.
I don't have the source list that I have is gone, I think.
Well, chat room went ahead and linked me back to WWE's site, which is where I got my list from. But now I'm missing a name because Cody Rhodes has been taken off, and the people that were added were Big Show, Masters, JTG, Kane, Santino, Kozlov, and somebody else.
Kofi.
Right.
Kofi,
I think
it was Kofi, yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Because I was about to make my joke, which I think should just be turned into an internet meme right now. Random Michael Tarver is random.
Yeah. Hey, no argument here.
Go on.
I will check. As of right now, line 4 is not occupied by the call by Michael Tarver calling into my show. I am surprised.
Yes.
So, what the hell, Michael Tarver? Seriously. You're stalking outside of Daniel Bryan's locker room, although you're probably just jealous because Bryan nailed Gail Kim before you did. You can take the belt.
Oh, wow. That kinky son of a bitch. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I believe Random Michael Tarver is responsible for Teddy Long being literally knocked off the show because it was a blunt trauma to the back of his head and probably done in 1.9 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, he was being introduced to Alberto Del Rio before Del Rio drives up in his Mercedes SL55.
And just, you know, said, you know, pretty much saying hello. He showed up one other place. Because I think didn't he show up twice Monday night? I don't remember. We were too busy baffled with, we were happy that the Fink was there. They brought him out for an Outthink the Fink, where a few of us were getting ready to argue with Matt Stryker, although the answer to one of the trivia questions could be debated just because the question was too vague. The question was, when was Undertaker's first encounter with Kane?
It was not Bad Blood 97, though.
See, that's what we said because that was the first time they were face to face. That counts. That to me is an encounter. Now, encounter might just be a word that's way too long. It means match, which in that case they're talking about WrestleMania 14. It was in 1998 when they crossed paths for an match. So, to be honest, I don't even remember what the guy said. But, you know, some of us said Bad Blood 97, and I think Stryker corrected him saying it was that following WrestleMania. So, that's a judgment call to me.
Mm-hmm.
But getting back to Tarver, you know, they're just... You know, I'm throwing my speculation out there. I think he's the one who took out Teddy Long. any other thoughts to what Michael Tarver's actually up to?
Being random to WrestleMania, pretty much. That's about it. Until people start to notice.
Yeah. Every time he shows up, you just listen in the back of your mind for me saying it. Random Michael Tarver is random.
He's a wild Tarver.
Yes.
He is a still hurts my brain.
Yeah.
You know what really hurts my brain but is not really surprising, Nikki?
What's that?
Old guys who think they can pull a diva move on a European tour.
Oh, jeez.
Woo! And now for our latest oversized shovel of TNA crap.
Yes.
Mr. Flair is unfortunately been around so long that he appears to be living his gimmick a little too hard.
This is a sad thing, in a way.
It really was. When I read this was just terrible.
It is.
And there's a couple of different versions floating around. The fact that, you know, Flair was just looking to, you know, was trying to get a front of some more money, which, of course, he was going to blow, you know, he's going to blow at a club like he had done the previous evening. He essentially had bought a round for the house.
Mm-hmm.
And with money that he doesn't have, and given the fact that he already has enough problems paying alimony and back taxes and a few other things, I can understand why TNA management wouldn't give him a little bit of extra money. I also understand that Ric Flair, you know, then spent the next few minutes ranting and raving and screaming and shouting and doing everything but elbow dropping his suit coat. Although I'm sure that was coming. He just didn't bother because the bus pulled away. There was a report from a TNA wrestler who reported on reason of anonymity, or in some case, to some people would think newsy, that, you know, a lot of people have been frustrated with Flair's antics. He didn't get kicked off the tour. In fact, he managed to catch up with them within the next couple of days. Was this the WWE, Jim? What do you think? Do you think they'd have just fired him?
I think they really would have. I really think they would have canned him because, you know, they went down this road before with Hogan to a certain extent, maybe not to this extent. But dealing with those kind of personalities, and you've got a lot of young guys who look up to him, and that's not the example you want to set. You know, he would have been gone. I believe in my heart of hearts he would have been gone. Much as I love Flair, he would have been gone if this was WWE. But this is TNA. They need every old name they can get, so they're keeping him. It's really like Carl was alluding to, and Jason, a sad tell of what this man has become. A once great individual. He's led, I think a couple of people have said it, the jet flying, limousine riding, tis stealing, wheeling, dealing gimmick into his brain to become fact.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sad. It's okay to live that lifestyle when you're in your 20s and 30s and, you know, seemingly the world is, you know, right in front of you and you can grab it by the balls. But when you're in your 50s, in your 60s doing that, you're just looked at as a poor, pathetic shell of a human being. Sorry to say.
I'll let Carl take it because what's really sad about this is that if TNA didn't have as many injuries as they did with AJ Styles, one of the guys from the Motor City Machine Guns, I think it's Chris Sabin, or is it Alex Shelley who's hurt?
Alex Shelley's
hurt.
James Storm is hurt, I think. I heard that he had a groin pull, but he was still working.
Right, and if he didn't have his injuries, he wouldn't even be on the tour, I don't think. Okay. So.
It's just some more facepalm worthy stuff from TNA, who should just change their, you know, who really need a new intro, some new intro music. I have a suggestion.
Whoa! There you go.
Very good.
Is there DNA, you might say?
Yes. Now, mm-hmm. time to do some background check. How many ex-wives Flair has? About four?
And he's paying alimony on all of them, I believe?
All of them, I believe, yes.
One in each time zone, I believe, as well.
Oh, jeez.
Actually, you might be very accurate, Jim.
Oh, speaking of one in each time zone, I have to give... I think Matt Stryker is listening to the show.
Uh-oh.
Because he stole Josh Henniger's statistic this week about the core being from one from each continent. He stole that point blank.
Yes.
Stole at absolutely point blank, and Matt, I want credit. Give Josh the credit. Give Josh or the show credit if you're listening to this. Seriously. That was Josh's stat you stole, you bastard.
He is your teacher. He's also a kleptomaniac.
There you go. But
beer
well.
Can. Woohoo.
Good.
I might even. Yeah. And Mr. Stryker, if you want something to steal, I think I'm going to throw something at you to steal. The name The Core. Now, everybody's joked about the fact that since the name is spelled with two R's, Cena got a dig in on Monday. He says, you know, the name they spelled it with two R's, and the second R stood for to which Miz added, really?
Really.
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 I found an interesting insight from the WrestleCrap boards. Perhaps the word core might actually be the Latin core, meaning setting things right, to which Mr. Barrett is technically doing in the case of his former bandmates, Justin Gabriel and Heath Slater.
I'll take it one further. I mentioned this on the WrestleChat Facebook page. Let me see if I can remember it borderline verbatim. I took 5.5 years of Spanish. It happens, you know. Corre, C-O-R-R-E, is the O-S-A. It's the he or she form of the verb to run. Now,
right,
if it's a group that individually runs each other, shouldn't they be called the they or us form, corren? Just saying.
Well, I mean, the Spanish verb to run is correr, okay?
Yes, C-O-R-R-E-R.
Yes.
Conjugated to the they form, it would be C-O-R-R-E-N.
Yes, correr, yes.
Si, senor.
Si, senor,
that's what
yes.
I'm getting at.
Yes.
Yes.
but yes, it's a very interesting, I mean, I was thinking it was the Coors, you know, like that Irish rock band. No, I'm sorry.
They were hot in their day. Come on.
Yes, they were.
I didn't wonder.
But I'm sorry. One and the same, though, the voice is of Wade Barrett and the pirate the Visigoth from the Capital One commercial, Garth. I'm sorry. If you ever close your eyes and see. I'm serious. You close your eyes, you hear his voice, and it's Wade Barrett. I'm sorry. It's
we get
idea.
Double miles.
Wow.
When we travel all over the world, we get double miles.
Yes. Listen, okay, you will be the next time you see a Capital One commercial with them and you hear it, you'll know I'm right.
I can believe it.
And I will mark out when I see the goat singing again.
Yes. Yes, okay. Yeah. But
what the hell happened to the show? I'm
sorry. Yeah, we lost track. I'm sorry.
We had track.
That's all fun.
Hang on, I got somebody who might be getting us back in line. 253, hello.
It's nice to see the show hasn't lost its old track of going off topic whenever something funny happens.
Oh, Jesus.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Off Track himself, Mr. Robert T. Seidelman. Hello.
Thank you. By the way, Jason, about the Visigoth.
Yes?
I think you're kind of close with Wade Barrett. If Wade Barrett had a bit of an Irish brogue, then you'd have the Visigoth.
Okay.
But anyway, that's just another one of the patent Robert Q. Seidelman's mindless thoughts of mindlessness. But anyway,
random Robert Seidelman is random. Why has random Seidelman shown up?
Yes. However, it's not really as random as you think, seeing how this is the last show for this old account.
True.
So I figured I'd poke my head in, and me and Carl are doing something special with all the old episodes. They're going to stay here until Blog Talk Radio decides to get rid of them all, which is highly possible, knowing their way of thinking right now.
Mm-hmm.
So what Carl has done through his benevolence...
And patience, may I add.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Is that he will be posting all of the old episodes of the NAWC, including some of the really old episodes when it was East-West Wrestling Connection with when we were on the old channel.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be posting them on CLW83.com's NAWC section if you want to peruse some of the old episodes.
Awesome. Very cool.
I'll be doing that this week upcoming.
Awesome.
Get started on that.
Yeah, and if you want to listen to those old shows, you better have a big case of booze near you, because me, Nikki, and Jason, and everybody here knows some of those early shows were really painful to listen to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll have to come up with a drinking game for it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I say something stupid, take a shot, which means you'll be buzzed by minute 5.
Yeah.
But you know what? Seriously, Rob, without this, we would not have gotten to CLW 83, or the new network. And so, I mean, without you, it's all there. You know?
Yeah. Sometimes the pain is not to have a life. And by the way, Carl, fuck you for making me induct Jack Wagner next week on Game Show Garbage before I have to go on vacation.
Oh, don't feed his ego.
Yes.
You're welcome, Cotterman.
When is the update coming up, by the way, for GSG? Quickly, just wanted to know.
Nah.
Doing it now.
We actually have to get back to the actual wrestling part of this show.
Yeah, let's get back. Let's start on track.
Oh, that's what this. Oh, I thought this was the North American
Big Show. No.
I thought it was the North American Association for Pleasant Complimentary Pleasant. Forget it.
Oh please,
lead
us back, please.
Yes.
Okay. So let me just wade back into this pile of TNA crap that we've got here in front of us.
Oh, I got
speaking
good
of.
Yes.
Kind of makes you wish we had the old NAWC theme when we had the Crystal Maze theme.
Yes, go ahead, Nick.
Okay, since we're not allowed to throw things into Room 101 until after they happen and been given some time to ferment, I'm just going to put it out there that I'm already taking votes for the up-and-coming lockdown, which will be occurring in Cincinnati, Ohio. Somehow, TNA has managed to wedge their way into U.S. Bank Arena. I'm guessing they're going to do a half house because there's no way they're filling U.S. Bank Arena, even for probably their second or third biggest pay-per-view on their calendar.
What's their capacity?
You see.
About 20,000.
It's more like a 10 or 12,000.
17, about.
Yeah.
Yeah,
look at the gate.
For those of you who don't know, that's the old Riverfront Coliseum.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Adjacent to it, yes. Okay.
Now, when I was at SmackDown this past Tuesday, it was about, so I'd say two-thirds, three-quarters full. They had the sections around the camera, the hard cams were tarped off, and only the extreme upper sections were tarped off. It was pretty full, but not, you know, screaming off the rafters like I've seen at some Raws. TNA typically does draw more than 3,000 or 4,000 to a show, unless you have at least a decent marketing agency when you get set up in New York City. I appointed you, Mr. Jason.
Uh-huh. yeah.
But the fact that they're setting up in Cincinnati, and I give them props for not going back to that little shithole called the Cincinnati Gardens and the even shittier Sunoco next door that discriminated against myself and my handicapped friend.
Ooh.
Which,
ooh,
boy.
Show.
I heard that story. It was awful.
Yeah.
What they did.
Gotta be awful.
But before I say anything, Mama Seidelman, Skippy Trebek's overbearing German school bus driver from a different religion. Yes, I'm... Jim and Carl know the inside joke from that one.
Yes.
She wanted to say hello to all of you. I just wanted to get that in before I hung up the phone to download the shows myself so I could make physical copies for you, Nikki, and for myself.
Thank you very much, Rob, again. Always, and again, thank you for allowing me to be here. All these times ago. Seriously, no joke.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and always was always fun muting you on Around the Horn.
Oh, wow, okay.
And it was even funner taking $25 from you for beating you in the trivia contest.
There we go.
Nikki, you know what to do.
I...
I've got a big button for that. Rob? Okay. Yeah, he went that away.
There we go.
Sayonara from your old account, Rob.
Yeah, love you, man. Seriously. Now, I will tell you a story. I will tell you a story about when I went to see Victory Road.
Okay.
This was at the Trenton Arena, which was at the time called the Sovereign Bank Arena.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't even pull 1,500 there.
Oof.
Okay.
It's a 10,000-seat arena, so yeah.
Yeah, so...
Mm-hmm.
And the TNA, a lot of the TNA shows I've been to, I mean, I just, you know, I'm impressed that they want to spend that kind of money. And then, on top of all this, Dixie Carter has the balls to post on the TNA website that they want to get Marvin Lewis versus Chad Johnson.
Oh, boy.
Now, the artist formerly known as Ocho Cinco, once again.
Yeah.
Wow.
My thoughts on that Wednesday. Yes.
Yeah. Carl, I might jump the gun for this on you, but I've got a button for that.
That is in the words of the opening credits of the BS Big Show. Fail! I believe that was yours, right?
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm just saying, what the fuck? Seriously.
Here's the thing, Jason. I would bet dollars to donuts it's going to happen. Ocho Cinco shows no shame. He will do it. He will do it. Lewis may not agree to it, but I bet you Ocho Cinco would do it.
Do you think he... Okay. Excuse me, Nikki. Do you think that he would actually take it seriously, or do you think he would just be Chad?
It'll be Chad. Chad's going to be Chad because Jeff Hardy's been allowed to be Jeff Hardy and Ric Flair's been allowed to be Ric Flair.
Wow.
That's about as accurate as you can get, folks.
Ocho Cinco himself actually responded to Adam Schefter of ESPN on Twitter about the matter, quoting him here. Don't know how I didn't say the usual. Me and Marvin Lewis in a cage match, set it up. I've earned my stripes on my helmet. It's time to fight, then play. Huh? Well, first of all, you have to be able to learn how to play. Judging by last year, so.
Yeah.
So, I am not allowed to throw this in Room 101 per the rules of Room 101.
But you're damn close anyway.
Yeah.
I'm this damn close to pressing the button anyway, but I can't because we don't even know if this is actually going to happen. But I'm with Jim. This is probably going to happen. So, Dixie, if you happen to be listening, I'm not going to spend any money on a seat for that kind of a pay-per-view. I might come down to FanFest and come shake some hands and take some pictures. But then I'm driving home because I don't go to pay-per-views for football players. If I want to see football players, I'll watch football. What a concept.
Preferably okay. Not the Cleveland Browns or Cincinnati Bengals. Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's there. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. I'm gonna cheer myself. I am gonna cheer myself up. I'm gonna cheer myself up. Quickly cheer myself up, and pass along a wonderful thank you to the WWE crew, especially when I was at Raw in Detroit. Not only because of the microphone incident, but where I was sitting. I had a very wonderful experience, not only with the people on either side of me, to which on my right I had a couple who are striving to be super fans in their own right. I wish them the best of luck in this. This is not an easy job.
No kidding.
And to the left of me, I had a gentleman along with his brother, who is enlisting in the military very soon, and his wife. This was their first live event ever.
Nice.
And we just had way too much fun. We had an awesome time. The crew was really cool with us. They came over and shook people's hands. We got a chance, got to say hey to Justin Roberts. I got to say hey to Jack Doan. I got a close-up too, but did not get a picture with the anonymous GM. He's a snob. Mm. Also, the fact that we were just in a good spot all through the night. Cincinnati was just as enjoyable, despite the fact that I also had to listen to a fellow worker sit there and just walk through the matches, calling the moves and calling all the psychology of it. Brandon, that's cool, but I want to pay attention to the match.
By the way, Nikki, you're absolutely right. When you get to, not school, but when you get to see virgins, and I don't mean that in a bad way, first-timers, see the show for the first time and live, it's very cool. Especially when they're kids, because the kids have that unbridled joy that we jaded wrestling fans don't have as much.
Exactly.
And, when they get to see, their heroes for the first time in the flesh, it's just awesome to see their eyes just light the heck up.
The term larger than life is ballyhooed like a cliche, but if you're that young and you're going to an event for the first time, it truly is a larger than life type experience.
It is. And
I remember from Nitro when I went years ago. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Nick.
I was going to say, it's fun watching the kids jumping up and down for getting to see this for the first time, listening to their cheers, listening to the parents giving them a little bit of wiggle room and letting them say things they want to say.
Yeah, like
nothing warms my heart more than when I hear an 8-year-old behind me. This was at the Great American Bash in 2006. As this 8-year-old showed his true colors about the main event and yelled, "King Booker, you suck out loud."
Oh, how precious.
Oh, wow.
I was so proud. I shed a tear.
They grow so fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You actually segued right there.
Yes, you did.
Yeah. I did, didn't I?
Yes, you
did. I didn't mean to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm rubbing off on her. This is good.
So,
one of the things that's been floating around the interwebs these days is a return to the WWE for Booker T.
Mm-hmm.
And a very interesting little fact happened this weekend is that he was supposed to appear at the Wizard World Comic Convention in New Orleans. He has canceled.
Yeah, Comic Con.
Yes, and he has canceled all appearances there.
That should tip you off right there.
So he might be one of our special six as of this point.
Yeah.
That might be something going to show up Sunday at some ballyhoo, some big deal up in Boston that I heard about. Which we will get to momentarily. So Josh,
what,
I know
Celtics versus Heat? Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh boy.
Josh, if you're listening, go ahead and call in, and you get to pick who I get to kick off. But I'm going to throw in one more thing about the shows that I attended. At the Cincinnati show, we had a special guest who I noticed was not highlighted at all on this week's SmackDown video because mainly, in the words of Dennis Stamps, he wasn't booked. Pete Rose had front row spit side seats at SmackDown this week. He was there with his son and their children, and just enjoying the show. And I think it was kind of implied to everybody to not bother the man.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we let him be. Although after the show, you know, I was hoping for at least a handshake, but I got a wink. I'll take it. It was free.
Yeah,
he
boss.
Didn't try to hawk merchandise on you, so that's good. Yeah.
There you go.
So, let's see. There's a button over here.
Oh, just
and
one other.
Go ahead, Jason.
Can I talk about a couple of TV programming notes of upcoming programming for WWE, if you don't mind?
Actually, yeah, because I don't have that info.
Okay. Number one, there is a strong rumor that the WWE is bringing back the Diva Search yet again.
Yes.
But the more interesting thing was... Okay. But the more interesting news was a press release that just happened about a couple of hours ago. A lot of breaking news from WWE.
Breaking news. I mentioned
that. The WWE has announced its host for the new WWE USA version of Tough Enough, which is happening, I believe, in April, correct?
Yes. After May.
And it is none other than Stone Cold Steve Austin. Does this mean he is back in the fold fully? Don't know. Will he be a good host? Probably, because he was involved with the best season of Tough Enough, which was one, in my opinion. Yeah, he was involved with the first one, right?
I don't remember. And as long as he can keep his head and his patience and decide not to pick up his ball and go home.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I know. I'm with you there. So, but I'm just thinking. Carl and Jim. What do you think of him as a choice for a host?
Carl, go ahead.
Honestly, I don't know who else you would be able to get.
Okay.
Al Snow, besides him.
Al Snow's already committed, and Bob Holly, they don't even want to talk to.
Yeah,
I think Stone Cold's a great choice. As long as he doesn't get too much into what his gimmick was. I mean, if it's the real Austin as host, which I think you're going to get, you know, not that the gimmick was anything that was, you know, uber not awesome, but you get what I'm saying. When you get Steve Austin as the host, not just Stone Cold, Steve Austin as the host, it'll work fine. I think he can get things across pretty well. And I think I'm not going to say he's going to be back in the fold all the way, because I think he's more into the Hollywood acting these days with some of the releases that have come out in the last couple of years. That big action movie he put out over the summer.
The Expendables, one of my favorite movies of last year. And the Razzie.
Yeah.
By the way, it got a Razzie Award. I don't get it, okay? A Razzie nomination.
Well, don't worry, Jennifer Aniston's going to win a couple, so everything will be counteracted. So
there you go.
Yes. I think Austin's a good choice. I like the move, and he hasn't forgotten about the guys. I mean, yeah, he I don't think he's going to take the ball and run away, but he's going to take the ball and do the show and do it well.
That's all I could ask for.
Mm-hmm.
So now we are going to step into the bigger part of the show, where we have 40 good reasons to talk about the pay-per-view on this Sunday. So
I am going to bring in our pay-per-view man. That would be Staff Boy Josh Henniger. Good evening, sir.
Good evening. Man,
Staff
my throat seems
Staff
to be a little
boy,
funny.
Staff Boy.
Yeah. And by the way, I heard Diva Search was actually confirmed.
Oh, dear God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And also, one other thing about the Rumble before we get into it. Heard from Wade Barrett's Twitter that Papa Shango may be a mystery entrant.
Oh, God.
That's funny.
I think he was goofing.
So
I'm hoping he was goofing, but I don't know.
How many of us would mark out if that happened and he just turned everybody's hands into ooze and whatnot? Yeah.
It would be hilarious for like a Santino, but yeah.
My hand would be raised so that it would be properly affixed to my forehead.
Yes. Well, you know you're going to get a couple of token
the
gags.
Palm. Palm
Sorry.
On the face.
Palm to forehead or head to desk. I'm not sure which will happen. It'll depend on where I'm sitting.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So, we are preparing for Pick'em. So,
yep.
Josh, you are here to take said Pick'ems. Who would you like to kick off the show?
All right. Any one of you want to choose to get off, or do you want me to kick you off?
No, you know what? As I said, Carl was hosting next week. I hosted last week, correct?
Correct.
I did host last week, I think. So I will volunteer myself as to to kick myself off and wish you guys a great last show here on BTR. Nikki, I will give you my picks later on and whatever you do with, you know, any surprises and all that good stuff.
All right, I'll leave yours open then.
Is that fair, Nick?
That's fair. I was going to say either that or I can send you a note on it and you can send your picks to Josh.
Yes, I can do that via Facebook as well. Again, good luck, guys. Nikki, I'll talk to you, you know, after the show.
You got it.
All right, later. Thank you.
Thanks, Jason.
Night.
Bye, Jace.
Bye.
All righty.
Yes, sir.
Oh. And now, since I'm not very good at the professional radio voice, the Royal Rumble Pick'ems. Surprisingly, I'm able to squeeze 8 points out of the show that only has, technically, 4 matches.
Youch.
Yowie.
And the crowd goes,
But it's understandable that it's such a light card because when you've got 4 guys, and if you actually did 2-minute intervals, I didn't do the math on it, but...
It is 90-second intervals. It's
okay.
A minimum an hour match. I would say total it's going to be about 70, 75 minutes. It'll rank up there towards the top end of the Rumble account. On time, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So expect a match or two more to be added between now and Sunday.
But I'm going to focus just on what's out there right now, which are the 2 A-Belt right. matches. Divas title and the proper.
Right.
All right, let's do it up.
All right, we will begin with the heavyweight championship match. Our current champion, Edge, is dealing with Fluckgate number one contender, Dolph Ziggler, who will also have Ms. Guerrero in his corner. At tonight's SmackDown, Vicky Guerrero has declared the spear illegal. Edge responded very simply that it didn't matter.
Failure is not an option.
Yes, indeed.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
So what he did was he stirred the shit out of Dolph Ziggler 3 times. Just to get it all out of the system.
Mm-hmm.
Here, here, here.
So, now that he's gotten all those fears out of his system, can he overcome facing not only Ziggler, but the fact that he's going to have Vicky Guerrero in his face at least once or twice. This is just a one-pointer. Who wins? I'll start with you, Jim.
Thank you. I'm so honored. My answer is yes. I think Edge can overcome because he's Edge, and he's just plain awesome. Oh, wait, that's somebody else's gimmick. But I'm going to go with Edge.
Works for me. Carl?
I'm going to go with Edge. He'll take out that executioner move of his to win.
Josh, what do you got?
It's going to be too easy because, really, considering how Ziggler's been built, he hasn't been built.
He's
going to lose and lose in spades. Edge wins. Probably after much shenanigans and an actual spear that Vicky and Dolph both don't catch.
I'm also throwing in with Edge, but I think he's going to do something that we haven't seen in almost 5 years, and that's the Edgeducator.
Mm.
His submission, sharpshooter submission move, last used on, of all people, Eugene.
Wow.
I'm not a bunny. I want to hug Balls Mahoney. Like, fuck.
I'll throw this in there also. This match don't even go by 10 minutes.
Ooh.
It will go beyond 10, I bet you.
I don't think. No. I'll tell you why in a minute.
All right.
Interesting. All right. Next, we have the WWE title match. Mr. Awesome, The Miz, who is going to make Cole change his clothes at least 3 times during the match.
You know, it would make it easier if he was just wearing brown pants the entire time.
Riveting action!
I swear to God, I hope King just punches Cole out during the show. I don't care if he gets him fired. I just want it to happen. Miz is putting his title up for grabs against Randy Orton. And while I'm not a fan of either guy, I personally hope that the Miz continues to hold on to that title. So you can go ahead and write that down for me, Josh.
Right.
That Miz is going to retain. Carl, do you agree?
Yes.
So you're on the Miz, right?
I'm picking Miz.
So am I, and this is where what I just mentioned. This will go past 30 minutes.
Jim, what do you think?
I can't see a title change until WrestleMania. I can't see it in the Chamber. I can't see it at Royal Rumble. Miz will retain. Maybe on a disqualification, but he will retain.
That means two different things, Jim. Who are you picking to win the match?
Well, no, I'm gonna pick Miz to win. I'm gonna pick Miz
All right.
to win the title. I apologize. I'm sorry. I'll just go Miz wins the match.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
I said maybe. I just definitively said it would. So.
Right.
And Jeff.
I am going to be going against most of you except for Typhoon in the chat. I do believe that Orton will win, but by disqualification. Something tells me that briefcase is going to get in the road. And, yeah. It will set up something for Elimination Chamber. Him, Orton, Miz, and 4 others all vying for the title.
Entirely possible. Let's see. Then our third match is the Divas title match, where Natalya will be defending it in what may as well be a handicap match against Lay Cool.
It is. It is a handicap match.
So, Josh, do you think Natty can hold on to the belt?
Question. How long has Miss Neidhart held the belt right now?
I think she's had it for 2 months now.
2 months? Yeah, considering how WWE is concerning the faces and that belt, I really don't see Natalya winning. Lay cool, win, retain the belt, and I puke my gut up.
Regain the belt, you mean?
Yeah, lay cool, win the title.
Okay, which one? I want specifics on this one.
Michelle McCool gets it because Lord knows she needs another one.
Jim, do you agree?
Partially. I think Lay Cool regains the belt. If I'm not mistaken, Natty pinned Layla to win the belt a couple of months back, correct?
I believe so.
So I'm going to go a little against the grain and say Layla gets the Duke over Natty Neidhart, and we may see another awesome being interfere in this match. Just saying. Just randomly.
Oh, you. By the way, is this a two-point match?
No, just a one-pointer. I'm not that. I just want to make sure you know we have the right winner.
Okay.
So.
I'm going to need a clarification on that. If Lay Cool wins and whoever pins gets the point or no?
Just the winner. I'm asking for the individual. When you say Lay Cool wins, I have to know which one of them is doing the pinning.
Okay, the specific winner.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go Layla just for shiggles.
All right.
Carl?
I'm in the general consensus, but I'm going to go with Mrs. Undertaker to pin Natalya.
Michelle McCool, eat a sandwich.
I'm not ready to see the belt come off of Natty. I'm seeing Natalya retain, especially since she's got this really cool variant of the sharpshooter that she busted out against Melina.
That's because Melina's insanely flexible.
Yeah.
As I recall, I was at the Rumble a couple of years ago when Beth Phoenix made her kick herself in the head. I kind of enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Natty's gonna win, and the reason I'm not doing the two-pointer is because I would love to see Natty win by having both of them in the sharpshooter at the same time like she did pay-per-view or so back.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I want her to win it. So,
smart,
now,
sexy, and powerful.
Yep. Now for the big mess that we call the Royal Rumble. We have 34 confirmed entrants. I'm going to say 35 because I think all of us are pretty sure that the King of Kings, the Evil Dr. Levis Hugh, is going to make an appearance.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
He does not count as one of the surprises. Sorry, guys.
Say you no fun.
There you go.
20. So, 5 points. You will get 2 points for the eventual winner. 1 point for the first elimination. 1 point for a surprise, not Triple H. And your fifth point, guess when Cena is put in the Rumble. What is his number?
Okay.
So I'll use myself as an example. I've been saying all week that John Morrison was going to win the Rumble. I think I'm wrong. Josh, put me down. The winner of the Rumble is going to be the Big Show.
Oh, wow.
Ooh.
My first elimination, Zack Ryder.
You know it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
My surprise. Diamond Dallas Page.
Okay. Got it.
And Cena comes in at number one.
All right. Got all of it.
Okay. That is the example. Jim?
I'm going to do it a little slightly different order because I'm a pain in the butt. I'm going to start with Cena This is a pay-per-view in where again? Boston. So he's going to come in late. I don't think he's going to be 40. I'm going to put him at 30, 35. 35 we'll give him.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Your surprise entrant. Now, I could go with Booker T. I could go with DDP. I'm going neither. Your surprise entrant is at the announce table. And his name is Jerry the King Lawler.
All right.
Okay.
Lawler's been in action a lot the last few weeks. I think they throw him a bone. What the hell? Let's see. First eliminated. So many different ways I can go with this. I am going to go with Wendy. Heath Slater. Yes. That is who Wendy was, right? Wendy Heath Slater.
Yeah.
Right,
just making sure. Because he's Wendy.
Sure called. I'm set. Big Show called in Wendy to SmackDown this week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can't keep him out. Yeah. Okay, and now the tough one. Who is going to win? I'm torn between two. I could go the Boston angle and say John Cena. I'm not going to. I think the man who is a quote-unquote surprise, a la when Cena was the quote-unquote surprise, is going to win it. Your winner, I tried it last year, it failed, I'll try it again this year, the Evil Dr. Levesque. Give me trips.
Gotcha.
If I get 1 point out of that, I'll be happy.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Carl?
Oh, wait till you hear this. Oh, boy.
This ought to be good.
I'm going to start with the Cena part first. I'm kind of in the lines of what Jim's saying in terms of how late, but I'm going to go a little earlier. Go right towards the middle. I'm going to say he's going to be number 24. First person being eliminated, I'm going to go with Yoshitatsu just for shiggles.
Good answer.
Thank you. All right.
Okay, 1 second. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, 24 in Tatsu. All right. Let me think about this one here. My surprise entrant. We've mentioned Booker T is canceling all of his stuff for the weekend, so that's not really a surprise to me. I'm going to throw you a bone on this one, though, because he mentioned it on his Twitter a couple of days ago.
Okay.
It's going to be a certain someone who's going to be at the WWE Hall of Fame ceremony to watch his best friend get inducted. Gray hair and all, old Kevin Nash. I'm going to take a shot on him.
All right.
Okay.
Your funeral.
And finally.
Kidding.
Shut up. And finally, my winner. I'm only going to go with this guy because it's only between two people. That'd be the leader of the core. A certain gentleman who just won a tournament. Who now has a crown on his head.
Aha.
I'm going to go with King Sheamus as my winner.
Not a bad call.
Because we honestly
All right. All right. So,
I'll probably
Josh,
get an 0-4 on that one, but oh well.
Josh,
all right.
What do you got?
I'll start backwards first. As well as everyone else has done. I do follow along with Jim's idea that Cena's going to be coming out late, mainly because you want Cena having one of the best chances to, you know, say, win the Rumble. So, therefore, I'm putting Cena at number 38.
Okay.
For your surprise entrant, I'm actually going to go ahead and take the easy point out, Booker T., is a surprise entrant.
All right.
As for my first eliminated, let me check that list. Double check.
Why does Booker T have to go to a bar mitzvah or something instead of this? I just say
that'd be horrible. I will actually say. Let me think about it. Yeah, I actually think that R-Truth is going to get nuked first by Alberto Del Rio. Who's going to be your number one entrant?
Okay.
And R-Truth is going to be second. As for your winner, it's going to come down to four guys, in my opinion. Alberto Del Rio, John Cena, Wade Barrett, and CM Punk. Now, they're going to probably, well, actually, there probably will be five. Hunter's going to be number five. Hunter is going to throw out Alberto, mainly because Law making new stars. Now you're down to four. So, yeah, I made a slight error or calculation. It's going to be Hunter. Well, Hunter, Cena, Barrett, and Punk. Barrett's going to finish in third. Punk will finish in second. Cena is going to finish in fourth. Your winner, and the guy who's going to be pretty much coalescing the core and Nexus together, and forward, going to WrestleMania to pretty much get one last shot at the world title before he calls it a day, is Hunter Hearst Helmsley, the game, Triple H.
The King of Kings.
On your knees, dog.
That's what she said.
No, I didn't.
No, I didn't mean you. I meant, no, never mind.
Bow, wow, wow.
Yippee-yo, yippee-yo.
However,
all day, every day.
Stop that. I'm gonna grab something from what Josh just mentioned about the core and the Nexus.
Yes.
Now, there's a lot of talk that these two factions are going to be battling each other. Maybe briefly. I really think at some point these two teams are going to end up re-merging into one faction once they have done their jobs, and I don't mean losses, once they've taken care of business on Raw and SmackDown. I don't, you know, I think that what, you know, some of this is starting to point in that direction. The core is still a heel faction. They're backing Vicky Guerrero. They've taken, you know, they claim that they were not the ones that took out Teddy Long, although that is only because of their Splinter Cell member, namely Random Michael Tarver.
Yes.
Anybody with me on this one?
It makes sense. It's logical. I just don't think it's going to happen. I mean, it makes all the points you're making are very well put and very duly noted. I just have a feeling they don't want to make a mega group of 10 people. I wouldn't be against it. I always was of the belief that maybe both groups would end up disbanding in the next couple of months. I mean, I just had a funny feeling that might happen, and it might, but I don't see them coming together. I think they're trying to do their own thing, although the similarities between the two groups are, you know, quite notable. I mean, look at their color schemes, as you mentioned to me before we went to air. It's kind of an interesting note. Very similar, shall we say.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do that.
No,
sorry,
can't.
I'm just typing everything up for Jason's usage once he gets to it.
Okay, no problem. I just, you know, the faction war is the more obvious and probably the easier to do. I just, you know, for some reason, in the back of my mind, it's the fact that both, you know, both groups have the same goal, take over their respective shows.
They are trying to be
and,
the brain. Yes.
Yeah. And, of course, you know, the fact that now that since Raw is still under the guidance of a mystery general manager who has yet to rear his head, although if he does, I believe the Evil Doc will be more than happy to just kick his feet up at the announce table, maybe throw on a headset, make a couple of inappropriate comments, and enjoy the fact that he has taken over the show. But I don't know. It's just my musings. I do know they're probably going to set up some of the entrants so that we do get all of Nexus and all of Core in the ring at the same time, or at least as much of them together in there at the same time, because you're talking 9 guys.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, then I also think of the scenario from Rumble 05, where we had 4 Raw guys and 4 SmackDown guys, and they decided to have a little fun and start playing out the promo for that year, which was the West Side Story parody.
Ah, yes. And
which I still think is probably the best of the Rumble ads. Mm. And people thought you couldn't top, what was it, Amish farmers and sumo wrestlers in a ring in the middle of nowhere?
To which I say, chickens.
Oh, but, how random, Jim.
Ah, come on.
I'm glad you didn't go the other route with that. Thank God.
Oh, what? Mm-hmm. Been spending most of my life living in an Amish paradise? Huh?
Churning butter once or twice, living in an Amish
paradise. Someone kicked
me
in the butt
paradise.
Last week. Yeah.
See, we tried to all audition for American Idol at the same time. And then we saw Steven Tyler and we said to ourselves, holy shit.
Oh, jeez. Crack kills.
Yes. But enough about J-Lo. Anyway, yes, this is a wrestling show.
Yes.
Yes, this is a wrestling show. Please come back this way.
Yes.
I'm coming.
Yes.
I'm coming.
Sounds like a personal issue.
Yeah.
Well, now, since we still got some spaces open with the Rumble, do you think they're going to allow a couple of other wonderful things? Somebody suggested that Awesome Kong might crash the Divas title match. Do you think they'll give Beth Phoenix another shot in the Rumble this year? I know she doesn't have a chance of winning it, but I would love to see her get back in.
That would be awesome.
Maybe both of them. Maybe Beth. Maybe Awesome Kong. Maybe there's a situation present where Beth comes in, knocks somebody out. Oh, there's the horn. And, oh, look, it's Awesome Kong. That would be, how nice can I say this, a moment.
Honestly, mm-hmm. I thought about going with her as my surprise pick.
Because I hadn't, we know that she signed. I just haven't heard anything new. And
yeah, she just wrapped up her last indie date just a few days ago, so she's headed to at least Florida, if not the Rumble this Sunday.
I'd love to see her show up. I mean, I do have plans on ordering the Rumble. Myself and Bear and a couple of my local friends are going to just set up in the living room and probably wait for neighbors and have a time.
That'll be fun.
Anybody else you're going to try to see it? Or?
Any means necessary. No.
Like I said, link or otherwise. Is anybody else going to actually watch this in real time?
Going to try to.
Maybe just for the Rumble match itself.
Yeah.
The undercard at this point isn't as entire. I mean, yeah, you've got the 2 title matches and then the Pretty Pretty Princess title match. And you know, I love the title as much as the next sane heterosexual person. But it's just not an enticing undercard at this point.
Yeah, it's very, very lackluster because three matches, sure, they're all for titles, but who really cares? Because those belts are going to be under holding patterns for the most part until at the earliest Elimination Chamber. Because nobody really has really won the belt at the Rumble in some time, at least as far as I know.
And of the matches, I mean, yeah, you can make a case there's a build-up for Edge versus, well, yeah, definitely a build-up for Edge versus Dolph Ziggler. There's not as much of a build-up to me for Miz versus Orton. It kind of came cobbled together, to me at least. And the Lay Cool Natty matchup, yeah, it's been an ongoing storyline, but it's been a stagnant storyline because Melina got thrown in there in between, and you know, I thought that was a decent match. Could have been a lot more too. It's like there's, you know, you want to tell a good story leading into the pay per view. I don't think creative has done a good enough job leading into this pay per view. They were focusing more on the 40-man Rumble, which is understandable, but. You know, one match, even if it is the Royal Rumble match, does not make the card perfect on the whole.
But, you know, you guys kid me on this, but I will say it again. You know, nobody talks about the undercard when we talk about the... I mean, the only exception is 2003 that I can think of off the top of my head where we talk
right.
about something other than the Rumble when we talk about the Rumble pay-per-view.
Yeah.
I've gotten a hankering that I would like to watch one of the Rumbles tomorrow after I run all my errands. I had the 2004 Rumble. We'll probably be watching that. If I had it, I'd probably watch the 2002 Rumble as well. But I don't. I think I have that. A friend of mine does. That was the first Rumble I saw live was 03. And somebody showed me the 2002 Rumble, and he purposely did not pause the videotape. I went upstairs to go to the restroom. Sure enough, that's when Hunter came out. Oh, let's see. I still have 10 minutes. I wonder if I have any news left.
Outside of Latino, Georgia Dome releasing a video of their pyro test for WrestleMania 27, I really don't see much.
Yes, may the good Lord take a liking to them and blow them up real good. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of cables and take a few people out like they did in Orlando.
Oh, yes, they're still wanting to forget about that. Revisionist history, remember?
Party company,
no.
So it wasn't WWE.
Yeah, still.
Let's see. Speaking of fireworks, behind one of the random Michael Tarver appearances, that's something we can talk about. It appears... Ryan's a player.
Mm-hmm.
He's son of a gun.
To quote Russell Crabb, do vegans eat Korean?
Yes.
I read that, and shame on you, Russell Crabb. But thank you for the laugh.
Mm-hmm.
So, point Daniel Bryan for not only getting Gail Kim back on TV and getting her a storyline, but making a lot of men jealous that he managed to get your hands on Gail Kim. They don't care that it's the fact that that he's essentially dumping the Bellas for Gail. Because, you know, I don't think vegans are really into twincest. Actually, he keeps
they're
putting
lost
them
by
game. So, and just the catfight that ensued was quite epic. I was very happy to see that. On top,
why couldn't Styles make a cameo for that? Just say it.
I try to say it loud enough. I don't think the arena mics picked me up. I tried.
No, what I thought was funny is not even the actual, you know, physical thing, which involved Brian getting a slap for his troubles. You know, them going back and forth talking about how each other, how the other was like on TV serving no purpose. I thought that was hilarious because it was true. Yeah, ever since we stopped getting guest hosts, you people have served, you Bellas haven't served any purpose on TV.
Mm-hmm.
So that was just extremely, it got me. That was good.
Yeah.
That got me. And then you know, they dropped the bomb in front of Gail, you know, at least we are on TV. Where have you been?
Yeah. Don't go there, girlfriend. Mm-mm-mm.
Mm-mm. And that's what starts cat fights.
Cat fight! Cat fight! Cat fight!
I think it's funny looks from, as one of my cats gives me a very dirty look. I'm not doing it in a voice, Ruby, because I don't want the neighbors pounding on my door in the middle of the night. Actually, we had a rather random cat fight on SmackDown when it came to Lay Cool facing Kelly Kelly and Caitlin.
Ah, it's nice to see they're finally using her.
Well, my enjoyment of it was permanently spoiled when Michael Cole decided, hey, look, you know, look at the useless diva. Yeah, the useless diva that you sat and, you know, you sat and dissed her and all of her friends all through season 3 of NXT and essentially ruined the show.
Mm-hmm. Broadcast journalist. Yes. Oh, I got something newsworthy if you want me to bring it up.
Yes, please.
You want to talk about powerful women, segue. There is a report. Actually, this is coming from... sometime last night, Linda McMahon was part of a panel discussion at the Westport Women's Club. And she talked about, you know, she was a motivational kind of thing, talking about business, learning from your mistakes, you know, bankruptcy early, then making the WWE into the publicly traded juggernaut that it claims to be. She was said she... wasn't afraid to lose her Senate campaign last year, and when the events MC asked her about another run in 2012, she said, and I quote,
ah.
All right.
Boo.
Thank you.
Stop it.
I'm keeping it open as an option. When I decided that I would run for public office, I said that it was my time to give back. I'll go around the horn here with this. Shouldn't she change that last couple of words to, I said it's my time to give up, because it ain't going to happen. I just don't see her being sought by the constituents of Connecticut or whoever else she might run for. I don't think they're ever going to take her seriously.
They probably won't, but she might take another crack at it now that Lieberman's considering it. Not running again. So it's, you know, sadly she might steal somebody else's line and say my time is now.
Oh no.
Oh yes.
Lord, that's why, indeed. Oh, she doesn't go under and decides to use basic thugonomics, then whatever, you know.
Face palm.
If I lived in Connecticut, I'd vote for her if she did.
for your own personal selfish reasons, I think, yes.
I just for friends and giggles, and while I'm at it, I'd give her my resume. Anyway,
I'll be forwarding mine to you as well, then. Okay. There's not much on this blank piece of paper.
So
yeah, that's, you know, it just That just caught me off guard. I'm saying to myself, she can't really be wanting to do it again. But when you put it that way, I guess maybe she can be.
I'm just saying that she's most likely going to give it another shot. You know, like
Connecticut Pride.
Yeah. Just the McMahon determination and that wonderful, you know, I'm not going to take no for an answer.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much. You know, Vince McMahon runs off a handful of his own TV tropes. Screw the rules. I have money. Screw the rules. I make them. Screw the rules.
Screw this index. I have tropes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Screw that entire index. The fact that, you know, Linda may be the most soft-spoken of the McMahon family, but she can be just as hard-headed and determined, and that's the only way she had survived her marriage as long as she did.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But most people would have bailed out. She stood by her man.
Literally.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, we were talking about old wrestlers who don't know when to say when, Ric Flair earlier. How many of you knew Jake the Snake Roberts was technically still wrestling?
Yeah. He retired real recently.
Oh, it's
Terry
coming up Funk tomorrow.
From time to time still.
January
29th, it's coming up
tomorrow. Yes, he will retire from professional wrestling against former WWE star Sin Bodhi, or Body, I believe it would be pronounced.
Tis Arnie! Tis
Arnie! Good lord.
Who's currently wrestling over there in Chikara as part of the group The Dark Portal.
If you're in the Los Angeles area, it's going to be at Wrestle Reunion, and I'm just saying to myself, can Jake the Snake Roberts even stay vertical for longer than 3 seconds?
Isn't that at the PW show Kurt Russell Reunion?
That is Wrestle Reunion 5 at the Hilton Hotel at the Los Angeles Airport. Bell time, 8 o'clock, Saturday.
Yep, that is most definitely the PWG show they're holding there.
Yes.
That's a little out of... But I figured I figured that Jake was still wrestling because it's my understanding that if he ever did go to rehab, he bombed out of it.
Yes.
And his attempts to get clean last can usually be measured in hours or day.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So. You know, unless, you know, if this is when he actually hangs the boots up, then I hope the first thing that he's doing is calling Vince and saying, I'm going to a rehab facility, here's the address, you know, make sure, you know, I'll make sure I get there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We can only hope. I think half the reason he never hung it up was just because he... couldn't afford to.
Yeah.
And what a lot of people don't, you know, the good news is that a lot of wrestlers today, and this is something the announcers have pointed out, is that a lot of the current crop of wrestlers, the guys that have come in the last 4 or 5 years, are college educated, are, you know, they have something to fall back on. But now that they're here, they're getting the money, they get financial assistance.
They're more business savvy.
Yeah, they know what to do. You know, now that they're at this level, they have ways to put that money away. They have ways to invest what they're making. They're not going to be, you know, stuck out in the cold like a lot of the guys from the late 70s and through the 80s, where they're at now. Where, you know, they still have to take indie bookings just to make sure they've got, you know, they've got money to keep a roof over the head and put food in the fridge.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, but now that we are in our last minute, I would like to say screw you, Blog Talk Radio, for doing this to us. And that is why Carl is saving our asses. So, Carl?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Any last words on our last show?
Stay tuned to this account for information on where you could find the next episode next Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
Which Carl will be hosting for me, as I will be in New Lexington with Mr. Seidelman on a wrestling gig. And I promise a chair will land on him.
Yes.
Woohoo! Yes.
So, Carl, good luck next week. North American Wrestling Connect is now officially signing off. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, and thanks for coming.
And a shame I never got to talk about what's coming up on my end of the shows.
My apologies, Josh.
It happens. But we're actually getting our first interview of Capture Suplex Radio here tomorrow, 2 p.m., WRCRadio.com. We're going to be interviewing the daughter of one Tracy Smothers, better known as Jessie Bell Smothers.
Ooh.
Yeah.
It's on Between Errands.
Yep, WRCRadio.com. Be there. Listen in, please. We can use all the hits we can get. All right. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and get on out of here. So, guys, thank you very much. Screw you, Blog Talk Radio, for going to a pay for everything and get absolutely nothing almost out of it type of deal. And, yeah. Good night, everyone.
Night, Josh. Jim, any last words? I didn't think so. Blog Talk Radio, shame on you, seriously. If I had any other way to put it, I would. But since I'm the last one out, I'll make sure to lock the door. Where's that door? It's dark in here. Here we go.